This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 409. My mistake, I got what I asked for. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing. How are you doing?
I'm doing.
I know, you look a little tired.
I'm doing. Wait, I already said that. But I'm doing. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm gonna make it do what it do because that's
persevere
what I do.
Through this show.
I have the eye of the tiger. So wait, no.
You need a montage. You need a Rocky montage.
I need a montage. The problem is that the song that I want to use we couldn't get cleared, so it's kind of like a lame montage because it's like made with like background music from like iMovie. So it's not right. It's not.
I have my kazoo.
No. It definitely. Trust me.
I could do eye of the tiger. No. I could do Europe's Final Countdown on my kazoo.
Please believe me that my montage background music is, one, not played on kazoo. Two,
kazoos are awesome.
Is not the Final Countdown.
It's the final.
It's not. It's actually not. No, but actually it's not. It's actually not.
I would love that to be my wedding procession. It's the Final Countdown to my wedding, biatch.
Yeah, you're kind of weird like that.
But it would work. It would work.
That's not what this is. That's what's going on. What is going on is we've got some stuff to talk about, games-wise, nerd-wise, all kinds of things going down. First of all, actually one of the things I want to talk about is the collective nerdgasm that we all, well, most of us had
When we saw a lot of the release dates for the next batch of Marvel,
Marvel rolled out,
it's like, hey, look at all these movies we're gonna make that are gonna make you cream your pants,
dude. So first of all, I was already excited for Age of Ultron with the trailer.
I mean, we already knew that Guardians of the Galaxy
was getting a sequel before Guardians 1 was even done. So those weren't surprises. Seeing their dates, however, for Guardians 2 was interesting. But the fact that they laid out the next Captain America movie,
the Avengers movie.
Yep. The two-parter. Dude.
Yeah.
Black Panther, that one came out of
the place. We are blessed. Oh, my God. And I saw the guy who's going to be Black Panther. Hot.
Yeah.
My God.
Dude.
Like, even I had to go, hello, Mr. Chocolate Sprinkles. What are you doing in that cat suit?
Okay.
Meow.
Captain Marvel movie. Like, as I started going down the list.
Isn't Captain Marvel a female, too?
Yes.
So, yes. Hello.
Yes. Plus another Thor movie.
Oh, they can give me more Loki. Oh,
dude,
give me more Tom Hiddleston, please.
I'm not going to lie. I joined in the nerd boner, as most of my friends on Facebook.
Lay him down.
Full
of rose petals.
I gotta tell you, I was surprised, though, like, when they said Benedict Cumberbatch was gonna be Doctor Strange, I was like,
oh my God, and I saw the mock-up that someone, like, oh my God.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be good.
I've never been attracted to silver foxes, but damn, Benedict.
Yeah, no.
If he looks like that when he's older.
Yeah, no, that'll work.
He can do strange things to me in a doctorly profession. He can check my temperature, my butt.
It's gonna work.
Let him.
It's all good. But I was surprised about the Doctor Strange movie. I was surprised about Black Panther, in all honesty. I mean,
why, though?
I didn't expect that they were going to dig that deep into the realm of Marvel to pull out a movie. Not a lot of people are familiar with Black Panther.
True, but a lot of people weren't all that familiar with Guardians of the Galaxy either.
There are more people who are familiar with Guardians than Black Panther.
I will agree to that, yes.
So I was very surprised, in a good way, to see that Black Panther was going to get its own movie.
Some recognition.
Well, not recognition, because Black Panther's going to be in a couple of the other movies, but to get his own movie.
Now, I wonder if it's going to be an origin, or is it going to be, like, the standard where we're going to jump into him already existing and then go back and do, like, an origins movie?
I don't know. I don't care. Black Panther is getting his own movie. Doctor Strange is getting a movie. Avengers, the World War is going to be broken into two movies. Like, I am excited.
I know somebody was campaigning for their word that because I guess it was an announcement that LL Cool J was going to join in the Marvel's cast somewhere.
Yeah,
and people were like, "Well, as long as he's not this particular character, because they want Terry Crews to be a particular character."
Yeah, I can't remember what the name was. I think I know what comment you're talking about.
But Terry Crews for blah blah blah.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I
think Cage something Luke. Luke Cage or Luke, it's something like that. I think it's Cage.
Yeah, I think
Nick Cage, maybe?
No.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I'm thinking Nicolas Cage. Nicolas
Cage and...
The Bees! I mean,
Terry Crews playing Nicolas Cage is something I would love to see on YouTube, but no. So, that was like my first big nerd-gasm-y type thing for the week. And in all honesty, it wasn't a bad way to kick off the week. And then it just kind of grew nerdier and nerdier from there. One of the things that was really big for me, I finished Bayonetta 2, my first run through.
Yay!
So my first climax is done.
Ooh. Gonna go for multiples?
I might, because I played it on easy, as you guys well know, because it was our live play last weekend.
Our Let's Play Together!
Yeah. And, there are some missions that, like, I completely blew through, like, extras. I ran past them.
How was the story?
The story was actually really good. Okay. I'll be honest with you. It was strung together better than
Bayonetta 1?
Than Bayonetta 1. Because, you know, in Bayonetta 1, it took us a little bit to kind of figure out.
I get that you're your own thing, trying to just make sense of yourself in an own way, but we have no idea what the deal is.
And
until the very end, when they pushed all that exposition,
and
that
should have been established, like, early. You sent Sarasa, the little one, back to herself through a time paradox, and you're dead, but you're kind of twisted. Bayonetta 2 actually explains how that twist happened.
Oh, okay, good.
And explains how time paradoxes happen in order to allow Umbran Witches and Lumen Sages to jump through them.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were going to say to bone.
No. There's no explanation needed to bone. They're good-looking sages and witches.
Bone!
Bone,
bone, bone, bone, bone, bone!
So the story actually is strewn together better, and once you got past the parts with Enzo, it actually really was quite good. Luca is in it.
Okay. Oh, yay! Luca came back!
Wearing a ridiculous outfit.
Of course.
Luca does.
Wait, does he have his long scarf on?
He has a scarf on that gets in his face and gets in his way. He has a hat that has, like,
Is he still lusting
kinda,
after Bayonetta?
Kinda. He shows up at all the right times.
Oh, how convenient for him.
So I blew through a lot of things, so I didn't unlock a lot of the unlockables, like extra costumes, extra weapons for Bayonetta to switch into. I just unlocked the story weapons.
Okay.
For the most part, so I didn't collect all of the gold albums that you take to Rodan to get super special unlockables. But I didn't unlock a katana. There are a couple of other enemies that you capture in real time, almost like a Pokemon game, to turn into weapons that you can equip. And so you can have alt versions that allow you to equip them both on your handheld weapons as well as your foot weapons. So there are some weapons that you can't equip as your foot weapons. Like, there's a bow that you get. It's pretty badass. It looks like a big fucking beetle.
Okay.
And
do you actually hold the bow?
Yeah, like you and you fire it. But you tend to fire it on its side as opposed to, like,
one like bush. Straight up gangsta?
Yeah, because you fire, like, 4 or 5 bolts depending upon how long you charge it.
Oh, okay.
Out of it to take out enemies.
Well, now I want to play. Cool.
Yeah, no, it was really good. And even, you know, going through it pretty fast, what was really interesting to me was that it was kind of like this cadre of games put together. Like, there's a point where you're in a mech suit, and so you're Mecha Bayonetta.
Well, I mean, we saw her get in one.
I know, but you didn't think we were going to play a whole level that way.
No.
Play an entire level. So it's like you're freaking in Sakura Wars.
Okay.
Because it's like a steampunky type thing, which we've seen.
Yeah.
But you actually play a whole level that way. You take out a boss and everything. in it, which was pretty cool. So learning that mechanic was interesting. There's a level where you basically have an aerial fight, which is like a bullet hell type game, where it's a shooter.
They had one of those levels in the first Bayonetta. Yeah.
So you have that comes at you. Then you have your puzzle solver that you've got to do a timed jump thing from platform to platform. So basically paid homage to like every game that came before it, plus the brawler,
okay,
which is good. And it fit. It somehow like feels right. And I think it's just because it's Bayonetta. You're like, oh yeah, playing Bayonetta.
I can understand my belief so much.
Yeah, of course I would be standing on the back of a jet with my dad and like taking out angels on my way to this mountain, firing bullets and using my Umbra Climax. Of course I would, because I'm Bayonetta. I would do that.
Right.
Which you do after you save Jean. So it's actually pretty good, and I'm not going to spoil anything for you, but it is really good. You'll want to get to the end.
Okay.
The end explains the beginning.
Oh, good.
Which is always good. So, yeah, really fantastic game. So I enjoyed running through that. I probably will go back. I won't necessarily replay the whole thing again another time. I think there are some chapters that I'll probably go back in and try to better what I did last time and, like, get some of those things that I blew past before.
Right, okay. Because
there are definitely, like, even playing it on easy, there was one mission that I got, like, a stone statue.
Which
is one of them bronze. Because I was just flying through it because I was like, my thumb hurts.
I sprained my thumb
playing Destiny. So I'm like, I gotta get through this. So we're just gonna, we're gonna go straight for, like, the critical kills and, yep, fuck that portal. I'm not going to the store. If I die, I die. Let's just go. And it was the one level that I died in, so that's what knocked me down for that kind of thing. But it's Bayonetta, so it's really fucking fantastic. But I will definitely go through and play some of those missions again. And, you know, who knows? I probably, you know, especially over a holiday break or something.
Oh, yeah.
I could see myself playing this one again.
Okay.
For sure. Whenever I'm taking a Destiny break, pretty much.
So then, in true-ish fashion, would it be good for buying now, good as a gift, or... You know,
it sucks, don't touch it.
Yeah.
So, right now, I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't suck as a gift for anybody that has a Wii U. Even if this isn't their type of game, as long as they have a sly sense of humor and they're over 18, I don't think that they wouldn't enjoy Bayonetta. I mean, basically, Panda, the end credits, there are sections that you live play through.
Okay.
Like the previous game. So the previous game, you live played through the entirety of the credits.
Right.
This, you have sections of it. The card flips over, and then you're playing live. And you get ranked as you go along. Once you get through that piece of the credits, after the story, Moon River plays, and Andy Williams
Moon
is singing.
Moon River!
And Bayonetta is doing a slow-mo sepia-tone pole dance.
Oh, kind of like at the end when she was doing the pole dance to Fly Me to the Moon at the end of Bayonetta 1.
But she does it to Andy Williams crooning Moon River. And it just...
You know, they're redefining what you can strip pole dance to.
And you're just like, you can't pole dance. And then you watch and you're like, no, actually, no, you could.
You can.
You can't, yep. Yeah, no, actually, that's really sick. Yeah, no, that's sexy. I mean, I know your pixels, but... I mean,
but those are very sexy pixels.
Yeah, yep. All right. Okay, so all the homages are in there. It's a really great game.
I was going to say it's really gay.
I was about to say it's a really gay game because it made me gay for Bayonetta.
Gay.
But I was already kind of like crushing on Bayonetta.
I don't know anyone who wasn't.
But for anybody who played the first game, for sure, it is a buy it now.
Okay.
Especially if you have a Wii U, period. You should own Bayonetta 2.
Okay.
You should.
All right. I trust you.
So, I got nothing but positive things to say about it. We will be giving away a copy this week.
Yay!
We didn't get to do our tweet thing last week, but we will be giving away a copy of Bayonetta, which comes with Bayonetta 1.
So, there you go. Double your Bayonetta. Double your fun.
Doubles the Bayonettas. Just saying. We'll be giving that away on our Twitter, so make sure that you pay attention for when that contest goes live. So that was like the first thing to kind of get out after my nerdgasm stuff, because, you know, I mean, you got to have a little bit of that. And
absolutely.
There was definitely a chunk of that, and the Cumberbatch thing really made my day. So after that, the next thing was kind of weird, at least to me. So I'm going to talk about Call of Duty Advanced Warfare 1 because it's coming out. But what's interesting is when it's coming out.
When
it was slated to come out, right. And now when it's
out. When was it slated to come out?
So, basically, guys, the pre-orders for Advanced Warfare not been doing well.
Oh.
The pre-orders have not been doing as good as the last COD game.
Okay.
Which isn't surprising, because, truth be told, the last Call of Duty game was not earth-shatteringly great.
Okay.
And there are some people that became a little disenfranchised with the franchise.
No! Gamers getting disenfranchised by doing the same thing over and over again for a numeral number of years?
You can only do the same thing over and over and over again.
I mean,
without some kind of newness. And it doesn't have to be big. Okay, but you have to have some
PT
kind
explain, of... PT showed that in abundance.
It doesn't have to be crazy new, but there needs to be something new when you come out with something in the franchise. It can't just be an exact copy of the previous game. Because gamers recognize this.
Yes. Okay?
Now, that's not to say that something has to be completely new every time it comes out the bank, because it doesn't. Because
new IP is really hard to establish and come by.
It's really...
It takes time.
It's really difficult, but it's not even just new IP. I mean, frankly, gamers are used to doing the same thing over and over again. Platformers, really at their core, are no different. It's always get from point A to point B, get around obstacles that are in between point A and point B.
If you can do it super fast, bonus to you.
The faster you do it, you get a bonus. You know, as you progress, we'll give you some bonus weapons because we're going to increase the difficulty. Ultimately, till you get to end resolution, that's either going to end in a way that we define, or we'll give you 7 ways that we define, and you can traverse the path multiple times to get there. That's every platformer on the planet.
That is absolutely
okay?
Right.
So gamers are used to that kind of repetitive piece. But if the game itself, literally, if I could take the jacket off of the case and put another Call of Duty jacket on and play the game and not be able to tell you that it's any different, then, you know, that's a little bit of an issue. And people are going to eventually pick up on it. And I feel like that's what happened with The Last God. Because it wasn't a bad game, but it wasn't anything new, especially in the arena where you've got battlefields going on, you've got new Splinter Cells coming out, now you've got a new Ghost Recon coming out. Like, you have to step your game up. And I think that one of the things that Activision showed us at E3 was that, working with Sledgehammer, that's what they were working on doing with this Call of Duty. That being said, the last one left a nasty taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Yep.
So, pre-sale wasn't doing what everyone was expecting. They've moved up the release date.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of weird, because I had done the quote-unquote day zero pre-order, which meant that I was going to get the digital copy of the game a day before the pre-orders
were
going to be available.
But now, is this like what kind of happened with your Bayonetta, because they released it early, even though, because you ordered
well,
it
Well, I got a physical disc. I didn't get a digital.
Right. No, but I'm just saying, because you pre-ordered for the original... The original
yep.
date, and then they pushed it, and then you still didn't get it until the old original release date.
Right, and that was because it was a physical disc. If it had been a digital download, I probably would have gotten it on the release date.
Okay.
Because they would have been able to send the digital then.
Right.
Because they were doing and shipping a physical disc, they couldn't make a disc get to the warehouse any faster than
right.
when it was going
to get
there.
Machine could only press so many at a time. Panda.
But day zero is a digital download that's supposed to start downloading itself on your console of choice. A full day before the midnight pre-orders were going to go out.
Okay.
And then they made the shift, and I'm like, oh, great. So now I'm not going to have the day zero thing that I did, and so I would have done it for no reason and all that kind of stuff. Oh, no. So the day zero edition is going to drop and is going to be ready for everybody on November 3rd. So, it is still going to be a full day before, because now COD's going to be out November 4th for everyone, in hopes of getting a jump before we go into Black Friday on sales, making it available for everyone. I think that they're even running some more discs so that there'll be more than just the pre-order amount. Because that's some shit that I want to talk about, too. I know I probably brought this up before, but I'm going to bring it up again. I think it's dumb for GameStops to only keep in stock, when you're talking about AAA games, for release day, just the number of copies for people that pre-ordered. The fact that they're not getting extra copies outside of the pre-orders per
store... No, that doesn't make any sense.
...is dumb, because then you prohibit walk-in
sales. How much
sales.
Money you can... Exactly.
Okay, because there's a lot of people that are going to see a bunch of videos now, some walkthroughs, because people are going to
who might have been on the fence on whether or not they were going to pre-order and be like, you know what, they really kind of sold me on this, now
and
I want to go
and
get it.
To a GameStop to pick it up, and GameStop would be like, ah, I don't have any copies. So then they're going to go to a brick and mortar.
Yep.
Like, that's what ended up happening to me. I ended up at Target to get my Bayonetta copy because I couldn't find it at any GameStops, and I'd been to two that day. Or was it three? I can't even remember now.
That's pretty sad.
It's really sad when you, like, you walk into a GameStop.
Like,
and
I want to give you my money. Oh, you don't want my money? My money is not good enough because
no,
I didn't give it to you earlier?
And here's the thing. We want your money, but we wanted your money, like...
A month ago.
I could sell you a used game, though, or a used iPad. No, you don't want that. No, you want... Right. You want new. Right. That. So, I mean, the poor guy, he just, like, was like, I'm sorry. But, I mean, that's ultimately where you end up with. So, I'm hopeful that sales of this game will increase. Because I'm actually looking forward to playing Advanced Warfare. Anytime you have Kevin Spacey as the bad guy.
That's, like, an insta-win.
That's, like, mad insta-win. And then you throw zombies on top of that.
Wait, who was it again? Who was it again?
Kevin Spacey.
Him or James Spader, actually, I think. If you ever put them in...
It depends on the role you got Spader in.
Blacklist? Oh, my God.
No, Blacklist
is
good.
Such a good villain in Blacklist.
But Spader, like, sometimes it's hit or miss. There are sometimes where, like, Spader's in it, and you're like, no.
And then sometimes, yeah.
And other times, you're like,
yeah. I believe that.
Yeah. He's kind of like Billy Bob Thornton for me.
Yeah,
like sometimes
Billy Bob Thornton sometimes great,
and then sometimes
I just don't buy it.
Yeah,
I'm not buying it enough.
And Spader's the same way. Like sometimes I buy him as an evil bastard, and then other times I'm like, no,
he would give me cookies if I were sad.
If I was crying
and he had my favorite muffin, he would give
he
me
would
the muffin.
He would slyly give me cookies.
He'd be like, look, I
he
could
would
eat
passive aggressively give me cookies.
Like, here. I don't need the calories. Clearly, I do. But you clearly need
yeah,
this
I feel like that's accurate.
Like a backhanded
exactly,
villain.
Exactly. But I am looking forward because between, you know, the visuals that they showed off at E3 and my hands-on time that I had with the game there, you know, it runs fluidly. And the mocap is on point. The voice acting is on point. You know, for, again, the pieces that I've had my hands on. I have not gotten my Day Zero on yet, but believe you me, you will hear about it when I do. But it does look like a return to awesome Call of Duty. And I'm a Call of Duty fan. You know, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 1.
Duty.
I said duty.
Duty.
But Modern Warfare 1 really changed my opinion of FPSs. And really was the game that I started getting into them again with. And then I went back to Splinter Cell, and I started feeling better about my shooter ability. And then I tried to pick up Ghost Recon again, and I was having some difficulty there, so I ended up back on Call of Duty. And so I really want the franchise to do well. I think that, you know, with the caliber of actor that they have, it should do well. Sledgehammer is not playing. They want to make a badass game. The developer that I spoke with when I was at E3 was adamant and was taking great pride in the audio work that they had done. Like, they stopped our demo and started the demo over again because he had a better run of audio that they just finished, and he wanted to run the demo with that audio instead because it was going to make all that much difference.
And did it?
And it, dude, like, the seat rumbling was, like, fucking amazing.
Okay.
It really was. And, like, that kind of level of pride is really cool to see. And so then you're really, at least for me, you're more interested now in the final project because it's not obviously just the sound guy, it's his job. He's, like, taking mad pride in
the fact this audio run
is even better than the last audio run. So can we, like, just stop? Because I really want you guys' experience with this one.
I mean, I always look, like, when I'm doing reviews for games, like, I mean, I tend to look at every aspect of a game that, one, I noticed myself paying attention to. Like back when I did my review for Left Behind. Right. And I made notice of, you know, how subtle all the musical cues were and how impactful they were to the whatever encounter you were having at the time that you heard certain things. So, I mean, like, there is so much more thought and effort in laying out a proper, and I know I'm making this up because soundscape is not a word, but when you're making a sound picture.
You can say soundscape. We know what you're talking about.
You know, like, I mean, there's so much to it. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, especially, like, in games that have high atmosphere. Like in Destiny, which, I mean, has an amazing soundtrack. Like, I'm always very geared up when I'm walking into or floating into, because I'm a warlock,
soundtrack is amazing if you're not grinding it for hours on end, because then you're used to
I have not been bored about any... The things that get me, though, in that game currently, and I'm sorry that I'm detouring.
No, but, don't be sorry.
But,
you can, like, talk about Destiny anytime you want to.
Oh, okay. Well... And for me, I mean, like, the fact that they're using audio cues to find certain collectibles that are hidden in plain sight.
Yeah, see, I don't hear those.
See, and that's the thing, because they sound, and I think they did this purposely, because they want you to, like, pretty much search every crevice, except for the ones that when you fall into them and they say turn back and you only have 4 seconds and you clearly can't get back up and you know
and
you're going to die.
And you have a misadventure.
Yeah.
You don't die, you have a misadventure.
It's like, whoops!
Because you're a zombie guardian, so you don't die, you just have a misadventure.
It's like, oh.
And you reset!
But... So, I mean, in that, you get great audio cues if you're, like, right up on what the thing is that you need to collect. But
I'm going to have to listen to your thing.
You have to. Because it clearly comes through mine.
Yeah, no, the way that I have my Astro set up, I have it prioritizing chat whenever I have them on.
When you're not with anybody, you need to just have it all be game audio.
Yeah, but when I'm not gaming with anybody, I don't have the headset on. I just have my speakers on, and I never hear it.
You got to have your headphones in, because I actually think they put it on a separate... ear channel.
Oh, so it's on a channel that's just for headset?
Yeah, I think
so. Well, that probably makes a whole lot more sense. Because when I have my headset on, I never have it on game audio. I always have it on chat audio.
Because I have my earbud in when it's just me, when there's no one on my fire team. And I have it blended. So, like, if someone joins my fire team, then it prioritizes them in my ear. But when you're not, like, I'll wait until I hear it, because it's the faintest of jingles. But the thing is, even light fixtures make sounds in Destiny that also sound very eerily like the collectible sound. And on top of that, that sound also sounds very similar to chest sounds. And it's because there are lights on the chest. So, like, there's a lot of thought in how, you know, how they want to confuse and or deride or any of that.
A couple of things that I just want to mention that made me happy. The cheese still lives for Atheon.
Yes, I saw people like, yay, the cheese!
Yes. So while they put the baby bumpers on so you can't knock him off the back, he's still kind of dumb and you can actually knock him off the middle part. You have to draw him out. So you still have to be able to do a run of normal play as far as getting through the portals and stuff and dealing with the oracles. But if you could do that and your team is smart, you can, in fact, still cheese Atheon, so that's still great. Because that raid is ridiculous.
I still haven't done a raid yet, but I'm only 25.
Yeah, no.
I'm widows.
You definitely want to be, like, 27, 28
before. Well, I'm not there yet. I just turned 25, like, 6 hours ago.
You want to do that.
I just got my third purple.
Yeah, what's up, third purple?
Yeah! My boots and my gloves.
I'm on slight hiatus.
Because of your hand.
Yeah, because I sprained my thumb, and I shouldn't be playing Destiny, but I continue to play Destiny because I'm addicted. I admit it. I crested 29. I'm working on a second character because I'm getting ready. We've got DLC that's dropping for Destiny December 9th. That's going to bring a new mission. It's going to bring the new raid.
Okay.
Which is going to... take us to the moon, the dark below.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's focused on Crota.
Oh, shit.
Yep. There's all kinds of new weapons that are going to... raid gear that's going to be available. Weapons that are going to be able to unlock. Like, badass. I'm looking forward to it. So that should really be fantastic. So I'm trying to level up my level 29 character. I'm desperately trying to get them to 30, because when they... DLC comes out, it's going to raise the cap to 32.
Okay.
So I have a feeling that you're going to want to...
Oh, I think they're going to inch... They're going to keep edging us with levels.
As they drop DLC, and I'm fine with that. if DLC raises the level cap and gives you more gear, I'm fine with
that. I want an exotic really bad.
It'll happen.
I want one.
It'll happen.
And I don't want to have to do 8 strikes without dying to get it.
Yeah, no.
That one was a bitch. I didn't do that one.
Wait. You should have kept it. Because you could have done the 18. You could have done the level 18 strikes.
Bitch.
Why'd you get rid of it?
Because I was like, I'll never do it!
No, you do the level 18 strikes. That's how I got my 25 that I needed to start my...
I'm making a very sad face right now.
To start the second part... I'm sorry, third... No, I'm sorry, fourth part of getting my legendary.
Why does that have to be so long? How many steps are there, 5?
It depends on which one you do.
Fuck that.
There's one that there's only 4.
Nope.
There's one that there are 7
steps. Nope, nope.
So I'm doing the exotic bounty right now.
I just want a yellow thing to fall out of somebody when I shoot them in the face.
Yeah, yellow things don't tend to fall out of people. No, you get gifted yellow things doing strikes. Continue to do strikes. Or do the raid. If you do the raid, anyway, you get some bomb ass gear.
Anyway,
So more Destiny stuff that's coming. We're very excited about it, as you can tell, for sure. And then, like, the only other thing that really, that I've been doing, well, there's 2 things, let me not lie. I did finally get a new iPhone.
Yay for you!
And, I'm putting the disclaimer out there now that I own Apple stock, because I have to say it.
Yes, you do. I don't, because I'm po.
But I went with the iPhone 6 Plus. I've been rocking it for 2 days. I'm absolutely ecstatic with my device. I'm very happy with it. It's actually easier for me to text and type.
Because it's about the size of your face.
It's about the size of my face.
It's really, like, okay, if we put it, no, if you, it would cover it your would eyes, cover, your nose, and your, it yeah, would cover your
it
face.
Would, it would cover my face. I mean, it does.
It does. It in fact, you could put, face. You could do that weird commercial like they used to do, where people would put their iPads in front of their face, and it'd be like a star's face. And you'd think that the body holding it wasn't their face, but it was their face, because that's, like, the commercial and whatever. You could do that.
I'm very confused by everything you just said, but yes.
There was a commercial. There was a lot of commercials for the iPad.
I hear you. I hear you.
I will find it after the show.
That's fine. But I'm absolutely in love with the 6 Plus. I've got a holster for it. So, no bend gate going on here, for sure. But... yeah, very, very happy with it. Battery life is fantastic. Previously, on my other phone, I had to shut Wi-Fi off because it would drain my battery real bad.
Oh, my phone's always drained. Because
that's because you're always apps, on.
All my apps are on. My apps are on right now, even though he's asleep.
You don't turn your apps off. You don't turn your Wi-Fi off. You just...
I'm always connected. I'm always on.
And whenever you do stuff with your phone, you don't hold the sleep-wake button to put it back to sleep.
Nope.
You just let it
I want it to be awake constantly.
And that's why it dies constantly.
It takes power naps for long periods of time.
Yeah, it does. In that it has no power.
Yeah.
That's the kind of power nap it takes.
Yeah.
But the battery life, I have to say, on my 6 Plus is, like, great. Like, I've had it on all day now, which is, you know, over 12 hours, and with Wi-Fi on, and I
still
have...
Please don't tell me that's a picture of your actual hunter.
No, that's not my actual hunter. That's just a picture of a hunter.
Oh, okay.
That's on my wallpaper, on my phone, and my...
Oh, I love Destiny much. Love Destiny much?
I do. I have the Destiny.
Why don't you marry it?
I can't, because it's not a real person. It's real. Destiny is real. It's just not a person, so I can't
marry
it.
It's real to me. It's real.
But I do have the Destiny app on my phone.
Really?
Yeah, because it's actually easier to read the stupid grimoire cards, if you're going to do it at all, through the app, as opposed to on the
website.
I just
shoot things when they say, you have a new... I'm like, yay. That's the extent of my involvement with grimoire cards.
Yeah, the grimoire cards actually explain, like, the backstory shit that they really should explain in the game, but they don't, so they're in the cards.
And then the freaking dead ghosts apparently also give you a whole drop of exposition, too, if you find them.
Yeah, if you find them all. I haven't found them all yet.
Me neither.
I found a new one, though.
But anyway.
So, iPhone 6 Plus, absolutely happy with it. Super light.
I know.
Which is, like,
see,
awesome.
And it covers... No, actually, no, it doesn't. My eyes are too wide apart.
Yep, it doesn't cover your face.
It does not cover my face. It covers your face.
What is really nice, the camera's really fantastic. And I have to say that, like, I didn't think I was really going to enjoy a really, like, big phone.
Because you have such little baby hands.
I've been envious of the Galaxy S3 for a while.
Look, your baby hand doesn't even... Like, there's still a whole half of a phone.
Yeah, I know. But it's super easy to get to, like, the top of the phone because you can double tap to bring everything down to you so it's within thumb range.
Oh, my God. That is so great for people with small hands.
And then you can double tap to bring it up.
So I can, like, double tap
and bring up Facebook, and I can double tap, bring that down.
Holy crap,
dude. Facebook, double tap, bring that down.
Nice.
Recharge. Then when it's done, boom. So it's mad freaking easy to use.
That is super easy.
So no gamer thumb or anything like that.
Super sweet. Nice.
Yeah. It really, really is. So, I've been very, very happy with the phone. The speaker on it is really fantastic. I played a couple of trailers. You know, because one thing that has always bothered me about my previous phone is, like, if you're ever using it to, like, show off a video to somebody, like, you always have to hand it to them and, like, put it close to them so they can hear the audio, like, on the YouTube.
It's like they have to listen to the audio and then look at the video and then listen
right,
to the audio.
Right, because even with the volume all the way up, that it
just really doesn't play. It distorts weird.
Yeah, it does not do that in this actually. Nice. Plays really well, which is fantastic. So I'm very, very happy with the device. The flash works great. I've taken one panorama with it.
I've heard that the camera has, like, been upped a lot.
The camera's definitely better in low light, especially if you use the HDR feature, which I only use the HDR feature, in all honesty, to take photos of my dog against my couch, because they're both the same color.
Right.
They're tan and chocolate.
I know, I've seen your and dog, so, and I'm sitting on your couch.
But they haven't necessarily seen the dog,
right,
so
yeah,
I'm
I
describing.
Know. I know.
I've taken a couple of photos, selfies, with the front camera. The front camera is better than on the 5S.
Oh, all right.
Good for sure.
Good to know.
It's still, you know, a little grainy because it's a front camera, but it is much improved over the other ones. So it's
all right, good.
It's definitely selfie approved, for sure.
I'm giving the thumbs up.
So then the only other thing that I've got is really anime related, and I've just jumped back into watching some anime on Crunchyroll.
Please tell me you're up to date with Akame ga Kill.
Yeah, I am.
Oh my god, I know there's a new one out technically yesterday, which I have not watched as of this show right now, but the one before that with Chelsea?
Yes.
Oh my god, I cried. I knew something was going to happen, and then I was hoping it would just be very quick, and apparently, no.
Nope.
No. This is very much in the vein of Attack on Titan, where they want you to see every and all.
And we've talked about Akame ga Kill before. The season just continues to get darker, but also better.
Yes, I agree.
And so the last episode that both Pan and I have seen, definitely,
it up for, like, an
arc. In all honesty, after everything that happened with Chelsea happened, immediately the next thing that I did was I watched that 11-minute anime series that's, like, where they take the Sega systems and they make them little girls and play Sega games.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Is that in the lineup right now?
Yeah, something Seiha Girls.
Okay.
And so there's one girl who's the master system, one who's the Genesis, and one who's the Dreamcast. And they have to they're in a school.
Uh-huh, school.
And they have to play through classic games. And it's just, like, weird.
Okay.
Like, the first one, they had to play through Virtua Fighter. And it gives you history about the game, that it was the first 3D fighter ever on a home console, and that kind of thing. And there, between the commercial breaks, there's also cards of information that pop up about gaming. So it's more factual than the video game movie.
Oh, nice. there's a lot of things that are more factual than the video game movie.
And there's only 11 minutes in every episode. It's super, super cute. Like, they played through Space Channel 5.
I love that
and
game.
And the Master System was like, I can't do this. I'm only 16-bit. I can't stay on beat. It was really funny. It was hysterical. And so, I had to watch that to...
Because, I mean, that was
I didn't
just,
cry, but...
I cried.
It was mad sad.
Because, I mean, like, I knew something was up with Kurome.
Yeah.
Like, I knew. I just couldn't pinpoint what the deal was. And, like, as soon as, like, you know, Chelsea went in and did her thing, I was like, it's not going to be that easy.
Yep.
And I'm like, and as soon as she sent her dolls after and the first slice happened, I was like,
yep.
And now you're dead.
Yep.
And that's, I'm sorry I'm spoiling it for anyone who's watching it. Hopefully at this point you've seen the episode that I'm talking about.
Because there's a new episode out now, so.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, though, like, this whole series has been really good about not making it about somebody's obsession about another person. Like, they haven't really, even though there's been elements of romance, twisted or not, it's just death.
It was just, and she's the only one that's affixed on anybody.
Well, that's the thing, though, because, like, as soon as that opened up with her linking to Tatsumi, then all of a sudden, there was this weird tension between, you know, Chelsea and Tatsumi. Because, you know, like, all of a sudden she's like, why am I looking at him like that? Oh, no. And then the blushing happened. I'm like, no, no. I'm like, it's a trap.
It was a trap.
And as soon as she was like, oh, I'm going to go and impress him, that's where her downfall was.
Yeah.
Because she decided she wanted to go after Kurome to get his approval so that he'd hit her up style. And she got her head cut off. Spoilers. By a hot-looking dead dude. Spoilers. I don't care anymore.
Spoilers.
It's a good series. It's absolutely great. I mean,
you should be watching.
If you're not watching it now, then I hope that you're watching La Fruit de la Gracia. That one,
Grisalia, you mean?
Gracia or something like that. I'm watching that one right now, and I don't know how I feel about it because I'm not watching it for enjoyment. I'm trying to break into something. So I'm trying to figure it out. Because, I mean, like, it's not a full episode. It's clearly from an H game, which is established in the first episode. Like, you're a generic dude who just wants an ordinary high school life. You get to a high school that has only 6 students in it, and the other 5, because you're the 6th one, they're all chicks.
Well, you're brought there by someone that you used to work with. So it's obvious that this guy used to do some kind of wet work. Some dirty work. Yeah.
And he's like, I just want a normal life. Well, we found a school that will pretty much do that for you.
Well, this is the only school that you'll get any kind of sense of normalcy. There's 6 other students, and they all have, I think, wet work specialties. And that's the thing, because they all have
a reason for being there. And it's pretty much up to the main character dude whether or not, because it is based off a game, and when you do the game, apparently, because I did my research, you can choose to live your normal life and just ignore all the things that, because eventually you'll get plot openings where someone will say something or something will happen with you and a character, and you can choose to interact with it and see what happens or not. And obviously, that gives you your own path if you completely ignore everything, because then you do have a normal-ish life,
right?
Because you're refusing to accept what your reality actually is. And the other 5 students are all girls, and they're all very moe-ish types. There's one who's faking being a Tessandre type.
Yes. Even down to her dye job.
Yeah, and she's...
Which she gets outed for and gets pissed off about.
She's got personality disorder, like dissociative personality disorder.
Yep.
And when she's not her A-type self, her eyes turn green, which was a clear distinction that I saw in episode 4. But I actually feel like, because that particular character has a conversation with the main character, and at one point she's like, what do you think happens when people die? And like the minute she says that, I'm like, these people are dead. Or somebody here is dead. Like, because, I mean, it's a weird conversation to be having, and the way that she brings it up is just... And there have been some flashes of a car accident with multiple girls in a van. At least 3 of the 5 that we see. So clearly something has happened to a bunch of them, possibly on their way to this facility / school. Granted, it's a huge building,
so... I've not seen those.
Yeah.
Flashes of an accident.
Yeah.
But I've only watched a couple of episodes, I think.
In the middle of episode 2, when I think a chunk of them are together, all of a sudden you see a car driving, like a van driving at night, and then you hear it tumble, and then you see it tumbling, and you see the chick with the pink hair, who I think is, like, always in a maid costume, mm-hmm. or at least the few times you've seen her in the first few episodes, the blonde is in there, and then I think the one with the long black hair is also in the car.
I'm gonna have to watch that episode again, because I don't remember.
But clearly there's something with all of them, and we've seen a little bit, because the chick with the pink hair, who's a maid, at one point in one of the episodes, she's making bombs.
Yes.
So, like, they all have a specialty of some type, of dubious or nefarious nature. And, like, one clearly upright is trying...
Dubious.
And one tries to kill your main character, like, right off the bat. Like, she's like, I will not accept you.
Yeah, with a box cutter.
Yeah, granted, but she can't do it. She's pretty clipped. She's badass. Dumb dummy. But anyway, I don't want to go into that too much, and we've already talked about it in its entirety.
The other one that I'm watching, though, and if you haven't checked it out, really, Panda, you should, because I think it'd be right up your alley. And by the way, can we just talk about how this season's anime is either super, super fucking dark or
super weird?
Fucking weird.
Yeah.
So I've been watching Parasite the Maxim.
Yes, I want. That's out on my list of things you need to check out.
Now remember,
every time you say it, if it's up my alley, I then go and I watch it.
Okay,
because you're always right.
It's right up your alley.
So I want to watch it. I keep looking at the art, and I'm like, no,
the art doesn't do it justice.
Okay.
So the basic story is there's this guy, high schooler,
of course,
really unassuming.
Okay,
quiet guy, wears glasses, going to school. Mind his own business.
Can you see through really his lenses quiet. When he wears his glasses, or do they turn opaque when he puts them on?
You can see through his glasses.
All right, because that actually means stuff. Yeah. So you got to be careful about how they're actually designed.
I had to think about it for a second. You can see through his glasses. There's this girl that he kind of sort of likes, but he hasn't made a move yet because he's not comfortable and confident.
He wears glasses. He's
like
clearly
that.
Not confident in his in his appearance.
All right.
If
so,
he wears glasses in anime.
Living at home with his mom and his dad. His dad's a little character, a little bit of a character, a little boisterous. Mom's very sedate, devoted to her son, whatever makes him happy, all that kind of stuff. They're all quiet. One night, some weird things start happening. Dude's just chilling in his room. And this sluggy type thing, he sees out the corner of his eye, jumps into his room. He kind of flips out. And it burrows its way underneath his skin and starts making its way up his arm. And he's flipping out and grabs a belt and, like, ties off his arm.
And he's preparing to, like, cut his arm off?
And not necessarily cut his arm off, but, like, cut the circulation off.
So that it can't travel up?
Yep, because he's watching it travel up, and all of a sudden it stops traveling it up. And it just disappears into his arm, and his mom comes in, and he's like, I don't know, I was having a bad dream. It's okay now. I think I'm fine. It's all fine. He goes to bed. Wakes up the next morning. Getting ready to go do some things, realizes that his thumb has an eyeball and is looking at him.
Oh.
And, freaks out.
Does his hand have a face?
Eventually it gets a mouth.
Oh.
And starts to try and talk to him. Uh-oh. And, it progresses. So basically he's been inhabited by a parasite.
Right, yes.
He's not the only one.
Okay.
Some other people you see get inhabited by these parasites, and these parasites basically travel up and eat the person's brain, and then they're
and then
able
take
to take
the
over
body.
The body.
Yep.
And they're able to transform the body
into
blades and weapons, and they eat other people in order to live. So this string of murder starts happening in the town
called the Mincemeat Murders. Now, is that only people who have fought if the parasite has managed to take over the body?
Evidently, Shinichi, the character, is the only one who was able to stop it from getting all the way.
Okay.
And so that's why it was able to get nutrients from his blood as opposed to his brain, but was able to mature and develop. So as the episodes go on, you see that the character, which he names Miggy, which eventually I think like means hand or something, I don't know.
Okay.
Becomes completely sentient and explains and can detect its other kind and fight, but it can transform his hand and add a blade so it can fight at superhuman things.
But then does his hand have to eat people to...
No. Because it didn't eat his brain for whatever reason, it's able to survive off of...
So if all these other people had just tourniqueted wherever the parasite entered, they could have theoretically
stayed alive. Theoretically. However, as it's progressing, Miggy is able to take over more and more of the arm. And so, like, in one of the last episodes, Shinichi wakes up, and his arm is completely gone because Miggy has completely left his body. It's just kind of roaming around like a puppy in his room.
And it's not attached.
Not attached. No, he's just roaming on the floor.
And Shinichi is not, like,
bleeding out? No, he's not bleeding out. Completely just, like...
Detached. Oh.
And Miggy, like, goes over to the computer, is, like, reading the Learn and other things, has no emotions, and none of the parasites have any kind of emotional feeling.
It's like Cubey.
Very much. They just have a directive that they're following, which is wipe out
Right.
This thing.
Right. Wipe out this race and eat them.
Yeah, basically. And it's like, it's really interesting because Shinichi runs into another character that doesn't right off the bat decide to destroy him, but has been experimenting, found another one of its kind of a different sex, had sex and is now pregnant with a human baby. But it's basically said, like, I'm going to study it, run some experiments, and when I have no use for it, I'm going to eat it. But you have...
Whoa.
I don't think that that's actually going to happen.
Probably. Maybe not. Maybe not.
This particular parasite seems to be more curious than others. So I think, like, and then when you watch the credits, you realize that basically Shinichi's going to travel from being this, like, unassuming character to, like, this badass, because he basically, like, goes through this period in the animation where he's falling, he loses his glasses, his hair ends up tossed and it's thrown back, and he looks like badass, and Miggy's out and has like two blades on each side of the hand, so he becomes a fighter somehow. But this girl that he's interested in, that it turns out is interested in him, is constantly trying to get him to do stuff, but when they do stuff, she's always asking, you are Shinichi, right? Like, you're you, right? He's like, yeah, of course I'm me. What are you talking about? So I think that she's aware somehow.
That something's
going on. So I don't know if she's, like, been parasited and taken over, but has all of it. It's really kind of interesting to see where it goes.
That sounds...
But it's fucking dark, because people, when they fight that are parasite people, they split their body. And it becomes blades or some kinds of thing. So it's, like, really weird, because all of a sudden, like, their face will open up and it'll be ripped in quarters horizontally and unravel, and there'll just be blades everywhere. And just, like, that's fucked up.
Well, man, what a great way to segue into what I was planning on talking about on the show.
It. Oh, I love it when my fucked up segues work into your fucked up things.
Sometimes they work, and I've got a certain amount of time to pull this off.
You've got plenty of time, so do it.
So, seriously, initially, my intention was that we were going to do a Let's Play together of The Evil Within that came out on the 14th of October from Bethesda.
But Pandalicious is a pussy.
But Pandalicious was very terrified. And was very scared, and her perception of what she thought she was getting into was completely and utterly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been playing the game in small increments when the sun is up high and I'm warm and protected by my
blanket. And you know that
blanket.
You can watch Hello Kitty and My Little Pony.
And when
right
I get
after.
Really scared, I can go into my mind and save and then go about my day as if I didn't just witness something very horrific. So I want to talk about my experiences in The Evil Within.
All right, Evil Within, finally.
So... I'm only in chapter 3 so far, because like I said, I've been taking this in very small increments.
Only playing by the light of day.
Only playing by the light of day, so literally, by the time I get home from my day job, I literally have 3 hours before it gets dark. And then I'm like, nope, and now we're done, and now Destiny, yay.
Yay!
So, from what I have played so far, that we already know, you are playing this detective, Sebastian Castellanos, and you're on your way to this hospital, Beacon Memorial, because there's this big call of, like, all these gunfires, shit's gone crazy, and you've just come off of a case with your team, and you have one assistant guy named Joseph who's with you, who's really hot, and you have another detective named Kimmin, who's a chick, who doesn't look like Nicole Kimmin, but you have, like, a special team, so I think you're a specialized unit in the detective agency that, you know, the police that you're a part of.
Okay.
So you get to Beacon, and there's all these cop cars, and all the lights are still flashing, and all the doors are open, and there's ambulances, and there's no one. Like, nothing. And there's nothing, you don't hear anything on the inside. Like, shit's gone down. So you are walking to this door, and you've got Joseph with you, and you make Kidman stay behind because, you know, girls are definitely not useful in this type of situation.
Even though Kidman is clean. Somebody to radio for backup.
Well, he's got a cop who's in a car
mm-hmm.
that pulls them up, and then the three of them get out. So there's someone already at the car. But anyway, they decide to leave Kidman out while they go and they check the first floor of this building. And you're going through, and literally there are just bodies everywhere. Like, blood, just scat, like, it's like a Jackson Pollock painting, but just red paint and, like, organs in this opening foyer. And literally, the minute you walk in, you're kind of like, your character's like, I can smell blood. I'm like, you're kind of stepping in it, dude. So clearly, yes.
Yeah, but there's got to be a lot of blood for you to be able to smell it.
It's pooling everywhere. And like, and you're not really allowed to run at this point because they really want you to realize that you're heading into shit.
Oh, I remember.
You are in for shitty McShit time.
Yep.
Shit, 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 shit.
And just in case you forgot, this is an explicit podcast.
Yeah. So, anyway, so you find one living dude, and you actually encounter him a little bit later on in the game. As far as I've played it, because like I said, I have not completed it at this point, but, you know, you're in a room that has a CC, like, closed off circuit TVs.
Closed circuit.
Mm-hmm. And your partner's like, you should go check out, because maybe we'll see something on the live feed. And you're like, yeah, sure.
That makes total sense.
So you totally go over to them, and you're looking, and you see, and it says clearly on the corner, live. So this is currently happening in one part of the hospital. You see these three cops are shooting into this hallway, and you can't see further up the hallway. And then all of a sudden, you see this entity move forward, and literally, it looks like it's going slow. And, like, the cops are just not reacting, and you realize it's because that entity is moving faster than the cops can even recognize the entity's even there. And it just takes them out with, I'm going to assume, some type of sharp object, because you clearly can't see what he is killing them with, but he's clearly killing them. And all of a sudden, the entity stops, and it looks like a dude in a white coat, and he's kind of, like, deformed, has some type of scabby thing and some blood. And he looks up at the camera, and your character's kind of like, whoa. And when he steps away from the camera a little bit, he turns, and that exact guy is right behind him and stabs him in what I assume from the height is his eye. And when you happen to come to at this point, you're hanging upside down, which is a great homage to your encounter as Lara Croft in Tomb Raider,
uh-huh.
where you're upside down. You have to figure out getting yourself out of being dangled. And as you're there, your eyes are slowly opening, and you hear, I think it's one of Bach's. It's classical music, and I think it's one of Bach's concertos. I'm not sure. But the music is very calming, and then you realize that you're in, like, a butcher's area. There are bodies hanging next to you that have been mutilated and butchered and stabbed, and, you know, and there's this guy who is literally maiming a body next to you that you fully can't see. You can't see the body, but you can hear him just ripping through the flesh, and, you know, and you can see his arms and his movements are clearly not friendly to whatever person was next to you. And you see him walking away, and then he goes hacking at a body or pieces of organs that are on a table. I want to say maybe 16 feet away from you, not too far, enough mm-hmm. for you to be able to see. And at that point, you're able to try to swing yourself to a body that still has a cleaver in it. And that is how you get yourself free. And that's when they start showing you. Because now you're straight up in the game. They're not really giving you a tutorial in this game. Like, they'll give you a block of, this is an action you can do in a space. Might not necessarily mean it's an action you should do in the space. They want you to use your best judgment when you're scared shitless.
Yeah, no, I don't make good choices when I'm
and
scared.
And I clearly didn't, because what happened was, after I got the knife and I managed to get myself off, they're like, oh, you can sneak. And if you sneak up behind something, like if you're totally behind it, it doesn't recognize that you're there. So you can pull off silent kills. So I'm like, hey, I got this knife, I'm free. This butcher clearly did not hear me fall to the ground. Not 16 feet away from him. Let me sneak up behind him and think I can do this obvious thing by stabbing him in the head. Well, I follow him around this corner, and I'm totally going to kill him. And I jump up on his back, and I stab my machete into his head, and he flings me to the ground and chops my head off. And I was like, okay, so that was clearly not what the tutorial, using air quotes here, wanted me to do.
Yep.
So
don't lose your head over it.
I totally did. And at that point, I was like, let me just look at a page of a walkthrough. And clearly in the walkthrough, in big red letters, it said, do not attempt to kill the butcher. It will result in an automatic death. And I was like, okay, great. And then I left the walkthrough alone. And then I tried it again. And that time, it prompted me to look for keys that the butcher had dangling over the body that he was butchering on his block. So then I was like, all right, just wait for him to go into this back corner that I thought was where I should kill him. And then I should grab the keys and then conveniently find a door, which was in the area that I was dangling in. And I get through that door and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm totally going to make it. And boom, there's a tripwire that sends off this alarm. And it seems like everything in this game moves really fast. like super normal fast for whatever type of entities these are. So you're not really encountering zombies, even though they kind of look like zombies and mm-hmm. they behave like zombies. That's not what they are, because their movements are far too fast and calculated. They're very animalistic and
almost like they're infected.
I want to say they're in the area of infected because they're clearly not lethargic or
without thought.
Right, there is some methodical plotting that a lot of these entities that I've encountered so far have. So at that point, the butcher, now no longer with a cleaver, has like a chainsaw, and you have to run from him. And you get a little further, but he manages to slice your legs. Now you're injured, and he sets off this alarm, and you're in this room, and these blades come out of the walls, and they're getting closer to you, and you're limping. You cannot run at this point, because they're really trying to build your tension as a player, and they sure as the fuck got me, because it took me 3 times to get through that room, because there was a latch door at the bottom that they wanted me to pull open and slide down. And even when I managed to do that, I'm going down this chute that at every corner there were blades, so you had to evade them to get down to the chute, which is filled with organs and blood. So you're literally, like, eating. Like, I'm surprised that Sebastian doesn't get AIDS from all the blood that he is eating and ingesting. And with all his cuts, like, I'm surprised this man will not come out sick. Anyway, when you finally get out of all of that, you manage to get yourself out of the fucking building. Kidman, your lady friend, is in an ambulance with this cop. So something happens to his cop car, because he's now clearly in an ambulance. And they're like, get in, you get in, and Joseph is not with you, and your cop guy's like, he never came out, and I can't wait, and we're like, just go, and we start going, and the city is splitting in half. It's doing like an Inception thing, like someone is controlling, you know, how the roads are splitting, and it's trying to kill you, and you find out that in this ambulance, it's you, this cop guy, Kidman, this doctor, the doctor that you first see before you get stabbed in the eye by that dude thing. And this dude, which I thought was a chick first, name is Leslie, and he's kind of rocking back and forth, and he is obviously a patient of Beacon Memorial, and he is clearly disturbed. And at that point, you manage to escape the splitting of the city, but only to run out of road and fall off a cliff in the ambulance. And that's where you get your title screen, and that took me 45 minutes to get to. So they clearly are not bullshitting around, and this is Shinji Mikami, and he's come back in full force in his direction. I am more than eagerly happy to see what else he has in store for me.
But only if it's by the light of day.
Only currently by the light of day. Or if we're going to watch a walkthrough, or a let's play. But I'm refusing to do that until, like, I'm watching one, but only the chapters that I've done. I'm not going any further, because I want to experience the game and then see how other people are playing the game. But it is very action-y, but there's some great moments that are completely and utterly survival horror in the same main bloodstream as Outlast, which is more escapist horror. And I've talked about Outlast a little bit on the show.
I've not touched Outlast because, again, I don't do the scary.
And the thing about that game is, you know, the thing about escapist horror and survival horror, because they are two very distinct genres, even though they sit underneath that umbrella, is while you're trying to survive in escapist horror, you can't fight back in it, because you're completely and utterly incapable of doing anything but running and hiding. In Outlast, you literally have a camera that gives you night vision, so that you can literally roam in the dark, and you can see, and the things that are in the room cannot see you looking at them, and you're pretty much reporting on all this shit that's going down. And there are certain elements in Evil Within that you are given an enemy that you cannot physically, at that point, because eventually that baddie does become available to be beaten up and murdered and whatever. But in Outlast, that is not the case. You're solely there just to get the fuck out and endure all the shit that you're going to endure. But so that butcher from the beginning that I told you, like, you're pretty much running away from, they have a great tactic with him where you're in an area and you can hide in lockers and under beds, which is also something you could do in Outlast, which I liked that element, because you can't just hide in the dark like an amnesia. Something will see you or smell you. Like, you have to, there's got to be some type of element of stealth for you. And he is in the middle of this room that has all these boxes, the butcher guy, and he's getting aggravated. And I mean, in most survival horror games, when you have a baddie who is chasing you, after a certain point, if you've managed to escape them, they will disappear from the space and then you're free to roam it. Not in this game. If they give you an unbeatable character, they force that baddie or character to stay in the space, and you have to navigate around them with very limited resources at your end.
Yep. Nope.
So, like, in this case, you evade him, you're in a locker, he runs by you, he opens up a door, and then he's in this open room that has some boxes, and there's a door that he generally is in front of, and there are bottles, randomly. They're not always in the same spot, and you're supposed to use the bottles to direct him to go in a certain way until he gets aggravated, and then he chops through the door, the blocks that are blocking things. And I did that room maybe 18 times. Because, you know, and every time he'd catch me, like, the animations are different every time he'd murder me, which I appreciate. Because in most games, if you get caught by something, it's usually, like, a quick thing through the head, or, like, it's a blackout, mm-hmm. you know, and you don't really see what happens to you. You clearly know that you have been caught and you're murdered, but, like, they don't make you watch it. And The Evil Within is very gruesome in the sense that they make you watch all of it. So, I mean, this guy will slash you once with his chainsaw, twice, and then literally one time he got me, he saw me. And he hit me once, and I was so panicked, I put myself underneath the bed. Now, he clearly saw me. He knows where I am. And this game was smart enough to have this baddie come out, stand by the bed, and then you hear him revving his chainsaw. So you know he's, you know, and I thought he was going to just shove it through the bed. No. He kneels down, and then he shoves it under the bed and just mangles your entire body. Or, if you're running away from him, he will shove it through your chest, and, like, all your guts and your organs are coming out. Or if you happen to be in a locker, you will then take it and go through the locker. Like, I mean, these are all very highly detailed. And I appreciate, as much as I don't like being murdered all the time.
Yeah, I don't appreciate any of that. I appreciate
the effort to make each of the cutscenes different based on where I happen to be when he finds me. And what position I'm in. Right, because
it would be kind of cheap if he just pulled you out of whatever he was and always killed you in the same way.
Right.
That would definitely be...
So I appreciate that they... Would
probably incur more rage quit.
That they... And, I mean, after the eighth time, I was like, I'm like, I'm really bad at it. But finally, I got the gist of it, and I managed to get out. But I noticed that he didn't telegraph the same. Like, the second time, I was like, all right, I'm like, I'm just going to wait for him to pass me. And literally, I think I sat there for, like, 10 minutes, and he never went the... So some of these baddies, depending on how you encounter it, are not going to move. Their movements are not always the same. I feel like they went above themselves and made it so that it's a random thing, so you really have to be aware of...
So it almost acts like a truly
like, it's completely... It's completely... Yeah, exactly. And it's completely, you know... unknown to you, and it's unknown to your character what you should really do in the situation. And a lot of it is trial and error, and most of it is dead sad time, because they don't give you any
dead sad time.
They don't give you clear indications of things that you can be manipulating in the space. Like, there are boxes everywhere, and I didn't realize until I ran into one and happened to swing my hand that I could destroy those boxes. Like, they don't give you... It's very realistic in that sense, which I appreciate. But at the same time, after the 20th time of getting my head chopped off, you know, kind of, I'm like, you know, maybe after the third or fourth time, maybe you could make something a little shiny. Or maybe you could, you know, make it a different color. Or, you know, maybe...
I mean, can a bitch get a hint?
You know, But eventually, when you finally get to the point where you're able to upgrade, because they made it so that sprinting is an element that you have to upgrade. Because currently at the start, you can only sprint for 3 seconds. So clearly, you are an out-of-shape detective who cannot run.
You've had too many donuts.
And, you know, and I mean, with the name alone, Evil Within, you clearly know from the title that you're not... All this stuff is not necessarily happening in the real world. This is all stuff that's happening psychologically, whether it's your head that you're in or other people's heads, for me at least, is yet to be seen. But I clearly can tell because there are fragments of his badge, Sebastian's badge, that you'll find near an old record player that will also play this song that allows you to go into this safe place, which is where you can level up your stuff. And there's a nurse there who's always like, you're always safe here. And I feel like her presence is going to allude to something else down the road. But like I said, I'm only in chapter 3, so this is all speculation after that point. But it is absolutely well done. The pacing, I think, is great. I like the idea of having a very random telegraph from the outside, but as a player who wants to get the story and wants to get through it, it is so tedious. It makes me as a player angry, because then I feel like it's not the game's fault that I'm not progressing. It's my fault for for being scared and not being able to put my fear aside.
But
and,
isn't that what the game
And that is the to- point. You know what I mean? And this game came out right after the PT trailer came out, which mm-hmm. I clearly had my run-in with that. So, I mean, like, they're totally upping upping their levels in this genre, which, I mean, I've been clamoring for years. Now I just wish they would dial back just a little bit.
Like, sometimes maybe what I ask for isn't what I exactly want.
But, I mean, Bethesda, you know, thumbs up. Getting Shinji Mikami on board, I mean, seeing what he was up to and seeing if it was something you guys would want to get your... was the smartest thing you could do. I mean, with what we're seeing in this, and with, like, Silent Hills coming out, you know, down the road, I feel like we're going to see and not see a lot of innovation in a genre that has been very typecast to a very particular set of things that have to occur in order for it to be considered.
Well, I don't think it's an innovation. I mean, you've got Mikami going back to
rudimentary basics from Resident Evil 1.
Yep, that inspire fear and horror. Because it's really fear that makes things horrific. It's not necessarily gruesome, right? Because Chop House stuff doesn't really incite fear. I mean, you eventually get to a point where
you get so desensitized. His arm was just chopped off and, this rocket of red goo just came out.
Right.
But I think there are two different houses for horror, especially in games. Like, you have, like, the overly gruesome and, you know, intense, it's psychological, mm-hmm. you know, and that, like with The Evil Within, you have, it's well balanced in that direction. And then you have things like the PT trailer, which, you know, there is no, I mean, there's forward motion, but you have to just let things occur around you without any explanation. And there's very little exploration. Like, you're literally just walking through a hallway and
things
are slowly...
There's no exploration in PT.
No, there's none. And there's none in this either.
No, that there's exploration or not in Silent Hills.
There's going to be. And it's mm-hmm. going to be very similar to that type of set. But, I mean, like, you have the... evil that is horrible and gruesome, but I have the ability to, you know, improvise and fight back eventually. And then there are things like PT, like...
You have to endure.
You just have to endure, solidify, and persevere at every turn of the corner, so to speak. And, I mean, these two are very distinct in their styles and are both very potent in their own styles. But, I mean, I feel like they've each gone up at least two steps in each of their branches of horror. And it's beautiful in its own way and also very terrifying and pant-wetting.
Yeah, I'm not playing either of them,
And I
don't know that I'm going to watch you play either of them, so...
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm only playing for maybe 3 hours a day of Evil Within, is going to be... I mean, Silent Hills is going to be one that I might even only do an hour or so because, yeah, no. I mean... The trailer alone incited nightmares for nearly a week for me. So that just goes to show, one, they know how to tug the psychological strings of any basic human being.
Yeah, I'm not touching it.
So, I mean...
I'm not touching it.
And with, you know, Kojima and Del Toro merging their talents together...
See, you lost me at Del Toro because I remember Pan's Labyrinth, so nope.
And Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, which obviously...
I didn't see it because I saw Pan's Labyrinth.
I watched Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, and literally it just made me never want to crawl through the sheets of my bed. Like, the bed that I've just made, I'll just get in it and I'll go sleep. I'm like, if I think I feel something, nope. Because if you don't acknowledge it, it doesn't exist. It's just nope. No, don't look. Don't look, because there's a monkey. There's an evil-faced monkey thing crawling in your sheets.
No, there's not. Yeah. And so there's that.
But great job so far. I do plan to complete the game. I don't know how it's going to take me a while.
It's going to take you a bit.
At the rate that I'm playing it.
You know, we're, like, deep in the fall now,
Yeah, and I mean, other games...
the light goes away faster, so...
I know. But
it might be a New Year's completion, is what I'm saying.
It is a great game. I am enjoying everything that I've experienced. It has me literally on the edge of my seat and on the tips of my toes, which is exactly what I wanted from this game. And I mean, I've been sitting and waiting for it for over a year. As soon as I knew he was coming out of retirement to do it, Shinji Mikami, I was like, yes. And the last thing I really want to bring up about that is my misconception of what I was going to get from this game, knowing that Shinji Mikami was on top of it, you know, and being the director. And my nostalgia really kind of bit me in the ass here, because I remember Resident Evil 1, which is getting a remake in the Resident Evil 4 style. So we're getting it all beautified, which I think will make it far more scary than its original state, which was highly pixelated because
that
of
that. I did not know.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're getting the remake of 1. And I'm sure we're going to get remakes of all of them, actually, now that we have the power to do it. But as scary as Resident Evil 1 was, I was also 1 a lot younger then. And the boxes, the consoles we were using, while innovative and powerful and magnificent in their own time, are seriously now outdated. And when I look back at playthroughs of it now, I'm like, I can't remember why I was so immersed and so scary, because, like, you know, the characters are all blocky and they don't really have all that much definition. And that's just because progression of, you know, games have just elevated since then.
Right, hardware's gotten better.
But in Resident Evil 1, you know, there was some comedy. Like, there were a couple of characters that totally had some great one-liners, and some of the voice acting was just horrible enough to make it funny. Kind of like in that cult classic B-movie sort of way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's what I remember from his direction. But this is, you know, completely done straight. It's completely done for the dramatic, suspenseful...
It's completely done to fuck with your head.
And he, like, he took the training wheels off, and he's like, you know what I can do?
And now let me show you what I wanted to do.
Exactly. And now I'm like, I'm not ready for that. And I feel like anyone else who was a Shinji Mikami fan who jumped into this game was expecting the game to go one way, and when it took that dramatic left, they were like, fuck.
And throw my hands up!
And that's exactly what I did. I was like, fuck! He's not fucking around. He is not fucking around anymore. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to play. Now, you're playing real too serious in the sandbox, dude. Like, I just wanted to build my little mound to pretend it was a castle, but no, you want to put several levels in that sandcastle that are just covered and stained with blood, and I don't know if I want to play anymore, but I obviously do. So if that's the kind of mindset that you want to be in, then this game is completely up your alley. I suggest, if you have balls of steel, that you could play it at night. If you're even more ballsy, you could totally play it with the headset on. This bitch, nope.
I want to say nope.
If I could make a marshmallow suit to feel compressed and loved and sweet all the time, I would jump into this marshmallow suit before even putting this game in my console. But it's currently sitting in there right now, wondering when I'm going to turn it back on, and it won't be till the sun comes up. But anyway, great game. I'm all for it.
Scares the panties off
me. I don't even wear panties when I play it anymore, because they just run off in fear.
But like, there you have it.
The panties are scared.
The evil within will scare the panties off you.
It seriously will.
There's the soundbite. For other soundbites like that you want to make sure that you check out our podcast on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can also get the podcast via iTunes, either on your desktop or in the podcast application, by searching for Electric Sisterhood and hitting subscribe. You can also find our podcast on Stitcher Radio, on VogNetwork.com, and pretty much across the interwebs. Other things that you can find on the interwebs are all the things that we write about on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. Make sure that you subscribe and check out our new articles every single day. There's all kinds of stuff that we're talking about. Even Eshdog over there in the other corner can't get enough of what we're talking about. So make sure that you subscribe, hit us up, and be part of what's going on in our heads. You should also check out the other podcasts from our network, starting with No Borders, No Race, which will not be heard this week, but we'll be back next week with all kinds of great stuff, including some stuff from Rhode Island Comic Con. So you definitely want to make sure that you tune in. You want to kick up your game when you're working out out or just hanging out, then you want to check out Geek Aggro Beats for Your Feets, Bass in Your Face on Wednesdays. On Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together. The Issues Guy Issues Program. Call in live, be part of the show, be on the stream. It's random, but it's good. Trust us. And then for the rest of your week, keeping your nerd needs satiated, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh. We're on Twitter, @ESH News. So make sure if you're nerding out, we're part of that. Add us to your feeds. Add us to your streams. Trust us. It's pretty fucking boss. So with that, I'm going to turn to my sister and say, hey, yo, sis.
Yo.
What shit you digging this week?
Cuddles.
Cuddles are good.
Cuddles are good, especially when your panties are scared.
Yeah, cuddles are good when your panties are scared. You know, I'm not going to disagree.
What shit are you digging this week? DayQuil?
You know, I wish it was DayQuil, but it's not. I am actually digging box sets, just, like, in general, because I like to marathon shows, and it's the season where box sets are going to become affordable because everybody's going to want them for the holidays, so box sets of DVDs. Good. Or movies that I can rip into my library and watch digitally. That's what I'm digging.
All right, great.
So as always, I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Peace.